One of the items Governor Ducey addressed during his inaugural speech yesterday was water and how Arizonans need to come together to help ensure the state's future. To dig in more about what the governor had to say and what may be in store for his longer State of the State address next Monday, I turn to Sarah Porter. She's director of the Kyle Center for Water Policy at ASU's Morrison Institute. Sarah, what does the governor's emphasis on water during yesterday's inaugural address tell you about how important he believes this issue is?
Well, I'm really gratified that the center that the governor put water at the center of his speech, because water is really the gas in the brakes of Arizona's economy, and we're at this critical point where we need to address our Colorado River issues, and there are some other water issues that are out there that are really important. So it was a good thing. I'm not surprised that Governor Ducey did this. He's been working on water really since he came into office, and I think we're just at a point now where he sees that we can get something done.
And he mentioned the 1980 Groundwater Management Act, mm-hmm. which is often cited as a great bipartisan accomplishment in Arizona. So what did that make you think of? Did that make you think of some of the other challenges that go into even the politics of this?
Yeah. You know, it's a wonderful analogy, the Groundwater Management Act. Back in 1980, when we needed to pass a Groundwater Management Act in order for Arizona to get the federal financing to build the CAP canal and make use of our allocation of Colorado River water, there was an effort by the leadership in the Senate and the House and Governor Babbitt to first spend months in hard negotiations to come up with a deal. It wasn't a deal that everybody liked, but it was a deal that everybody could live with. And once the people at the table had a deal, they knew that it couldn't be opened up. They had sufficient representation during the negotiations to feel confident that this is a deal everyone can live with, but that if it were opened up at the time of when it was on the floor of the House and the Senate, yeah. it wouldn't succeed. In fact, the Senate majority representative in those negotiations was Stan Turley. Stan Turley at the time was quoted in the newspaper saying, "If we open it up for one, it has to be opened up for all, and then the deal falls apart." That analogy applies here. We've had a steering committee of over 40 people. They represent the cities, the tribes, industry, Colorado River water users in Yuma, home builders. We had the leadership of both caucuses of the House and the Senate, and I'm sure I'm forgetting some others, who were part of this steering committee. They had numerous meetings, and then there were subgroup meetings where others who wanted to have a voice could have a voice. So there's been a lot of opportunity for different stakeholders to have their say and work out a deal that maybe we don't think is a great deal, but it's a deal that if it's proposed, it will be a deal that everyone has decided people can live with. And so it's a moment once again when we would wish that our elected leadership could look at that and affirm that this process has been very good, that they have been very, very well represented, that their constituents have been well represented, and that it's a deal we should just go ahead and pass so that we can get the DCP behind us.
There's certainly a dramatic variety of stakeholders. We know that for sure. Without knowing, obviously, what he's going to say, we know that the governor will go into more details next Monday during his State of the State address. Do you expect there to be some specifics in the sense that he has wanted the state to talk with one voice when it comes to water? Do you expect that kind of thing? Do you expect him to say it more than just a rah-rah? Do you expect to hear details?
I think that what the governor will ask for very likely is that on the particular issue of the drought contingency plan, the Colorado River, Arizona's ability to enter into an agreement on how to manage shortages on the lower basin, I think the governor will ask for two things. One is don't tinker with the deal that all these stakeholders have created. Let's take their good work and make it so. I think the other a principle that the governor has articulated before is that everybody needs to be treated fairly when it comes to shortages. And so we shouldn't preference one group above another. In fact, there was an event in December, a water conference, where he spoke, and he stated that as the second really important principle. And then third, anything on the Colorado River, the whole reason we started these negotiations, the reason the states have gotten together to to negotiate a drought contingency proposal is to try to forestall catastrophic declines in the level at Lake Mead. And so a third important principle would be any drought contingency plan for Arizona should, as its ultimate goal, result in leaving water in Lake Mead so that we can forestall very dramatic declines in lake levels.
There is the concern, of course, that Arizona with junior water rights is put in a tougher position here. But regardless of any compromises the state would have to make, is it believed widely that we have reached a stage where in order to have potentially long-term prosperity, you have to maybe take a short-term hit?
This is the nature of water rights in the West. Surface water rights are generally, for the most part, allocated according to priority. Arizona, in a sort of fair and square deal, we may not have liked it, but we made a deal when we were trying to get financing for the CAP back in the late 60s. We agreed to take junior priority on the CAP part of our allocation in order to get the California delegation to vote in favor of the financing for the CAP. So it's the deal we made, whether we like it or not. And that kind of permeates or ramifies through all these water discussions. Different CAP contract holders have different priority, and the ones at the bottom are going, you know, the discussion is how do we make sure that the impacts for the ones that are on the lowest priority are something that they can live with and that we, as other persons in the CAP service territory, can live with.
Sarah Porter, Director of the Kyle Center for Water Policy at the Morrison Institute, thank you.
Thanks.